Hi, LMS fans. Underneath last episode, we did this thing on Spotify called a poll. It's completely up to you. The reason I'm asking you is because loads of you have listened to it. About 6. But we only had 1 vote. I hope you learned a lot. I did. The poll is what you enjoyed learning about. But the vote that we had was Greek Philosopher, which I actually found really interesting. So, I kind of agree with that person. As I said last time, I'm now in Malaysia. But just to give you what we've been doing, this is how it started. All of our family from Mummy's side of the family came and said goodbye. At Nanny's, have you been listening? Because if you have, then you'll know that it's Nanny's. And they said goodbye. We packed up. I put all my tablets, all my food, my orange juice. Wait, I don't have orange juice, do I? I wish I did. Anyway, we packed up and we went to a GWR train station. You may be thinking, what does GWR stand for? But I'm going to give you some time to work that out. Did you say Great Western Railway? If you did, you're right. I read the Beano for an hour and then we went to our next train. Not that long. What does that say? I don't know. I can't read my handwriting. Anyway, Daddy's here and he would like a speech. Don't you, Daddy?
Hello, LI fans. Welcome to his first podcast from Southeast Asia. I hope you enjoy his stories.
Stay here. Daddy is happy to give his next speech. And next, the train was 15 minutes. And we went on Paddington for the first one. I should have said that earlier, should have. But have you read the book Paddington? It's really good. But Paddington, I learned this when I was younger. The book Paddington, you know how Paddington's named after the train station he lands on? That train station was built, was it from Brunel? The famous Brunel? Yeah. Brunel works usually in Bristol and is famous for his creations. A little history lesson there. Now, if you're a geography expert, as I've said before, I'm not. You know that all this is in the capital of England, London. London has the King and Queen of England in. The next day, we woke up early and went on the plane for 6 hours. Now, on the plane, there was loads of waiting. Some people slept, but luckily, we got our own TV screens. They gave it to us, and we got to watch TV. And that made us entertained for 6 hours. But if you're thinking, we didn't stare at the screen for the whole 6 hours. That would be bad. Now, as I said, if you're a geography expert, you'll know that's London. The next day, we woke up for we went out for 10 for 10 then we went in the then we made it to a premiere and we slept in that premiere and I got pizza for dinner. But I was sad because I only got the pizza that the people serve, and most people got Domino's because there was a Domino's truck that was outside. Anyway, the next day, we woke up early, 5 o'clock, if you want more details, and we went on the plane for 6 hours. And then we got a free break, as I... Oh, have I already said that we went on it for 6 hours? Yes, I have. But it was an extra 20 minutes. I forgot to say that, so it sounds a bit longer. And that 20 minutes gets a chance in the podcast. Anyway, I've said anyway too many times, haven't I? Anyway, Daddy... Is there a word that means let's get back on to this? That's not anyway. Daddy's gonna think about it. Now on the second plane, we went to Kuala Lumpur, which another geography expert, it's the capital of Malaysia. Which we are in right now. I also bought some new books to read with us. And in the plane, we had to sit there. We had to sit there and sleep. We actually had to sleep. We actually had to sleep in the chair things. We went on an even... And then I also bought some fantastic new books to start reading. My favourite is Scrap, so I'm going to start reading it to you right now. This episode is going to be a bit longer than the usual one, especially last week, because this is a long book. It's like 300 pages. If you were wondering, Mega Robo Bros was 200. I'm not going to read all of it, Daddy. Can you understand that that the title of this is part one? Scrap by Gay Bass. Illustrated by Alessia Tranfio. Little Tiger. This was made in London. We started talking about London, then we're going to read a book from London. This episode is London themed. Not all robots are created equal. From Memoir of a Mechanical Mayor by Harmon Highshine. A Brief History of Somewhere by Nat Bristale. Aged 11 and a half. This is my story, but I'm the only human left to tell it. I wasn't there for the first part, mainly because I wasn't being born yet. The year of something something. The humans had spread like peanut butter across the galaxy, looking for new planets to call somewhere. One of those planets was somewhere 513. That one, the little one, I know, doesn't look like much. Sometimes big stories come in small packages. With new planets, you can always send the robots in first. Servants with servos loyal to the core, programmed to prepare the planet from humanity's arrival. Give them time. And they can turn an alien wasteland into somewhere not bad at all. And that's exactly what they did. They even built a whole city and got it all nice for the humans' arrival. This time, something happened that hadn't been happening before. The robots sort of got to like the city they built. They got to like the little back-off beyond world, called somewhere 513. I guess it started to feel like home. When the humans finally showed up, all the beely-eyed from space sleep, they couldn't wait to make themselves a home on their world. But then, The robots had done something that the robots had never done before. They decided to keep it. Keep it, said the humans. What do you mean? It means you've got a change of core, the robot said. The planet belongs to us now. Okay, said the humans. You'll still do everything we ask, right? Actually, you'll do all the work, all the lifting, and carrying, and toilet, and such. Actually, the robot said, we're not doing any of that. Huh? Said the humans. Will you still make us breakfast? Especially not breakfast, said the robots. It's horrible watching you eat, especially knowing how it all ends up. No, we're not doing anything for you anymore. Fair enough, said the humans. So what time are you serving breakfast? I don't know if anyone really got what was happening, but it already happened. But pretty soon, after that, being a human was outlawed on somewhere 530. The robots ordered the humans to leave the planet altogether. But somewhere 513 was a long way from anywhere. Sometimes when you're somewhere, you have nowhere else to go. That was when the fighting started. The robots called in the difference of opinion. But you'll probably call it war. Humans versus robots. Actually, more like 100 humans versus 1,000 robots. He thought the humans wouldn't have stood a chance except for one thing, and that thing was K1-ing. One robot, one single robot, actually fought to protect the humans. K1-ing stood against his fellow machines, one robot against 1,000. He fought a cog and a nail and never gave up, not even when he knew he couldn't win, not even when he sacrificed himself so that the humans could escape. Even then, even when the humans battered and broken and beaten, he never gave up. Deep down at his core, K1-ing was unstoppable. Okay. Nearly unstoppable. See, in the end, it wasn't the robots defeated K1-ing, it was the humans. They did something to K1-ing he could never forgive. They betrayed him, betrayed everything he'd fought for. On that day, K1-ing finally gave up. He vowed to never fight for one foot human being as long as he lived. So suppose this story, the story of K1-ing. The humans called him King of the Robots. I called him Scrap. Episode 1. The Pile. Going somewhere at the Falcon Corporate, your future is our priority. Let Falcon take you off on a journey through the stars to a brighter future. And with over 1,000 dedicated, hard-worked robots preparing the planet for your arrival. We're confident you feel home from the moment you arrive. Reach the Falcon conclusion with the Falcon Corporation. You know somewhere is waiting for you. From Guide from a New Somewhere by the Falcon Corporation. On the pile, the 1.5 suns could never set soon enough. Every day was the same. The robot woke with the small dawn upon his small patch of junk. Among all the small mountains of debris, before he saw ruined robot parts, limbs, heads, torsos, even whole bodies decommitted robot cases. These cases build up in their decommitted robot cases. These cases piled up in their hundreds, their chest cavities, open and empty, mutinous and inert without their life-giving cores. The robot watched the piles of residents' junk cases, rusting robots on their last meal metal legs, trying to make the best of a miserable existence. He watched them build crude houses out of cast-offs and call them homes, but the robot did nothing. He just sat there, waiting for his core to run out of charge. It never did. Even though he fought countless junk cases to grind a halt, he did not lose one ounce of a power, not a single ounce. For the robot's core had been built to last, like a battery that never ran out, heart that never stopped beeping. It was going so far away, he had hoped, so he watched the suns set again, and again, and again. On the eve of the 10th year on the pile, the robot woke up with the dawn and stared out as normal. Makeshift shacks now doted it the landscape. The robot had watched dozens of junk cases build humble homes and humble lives before unceremoniously running out of charge. The robot looked back at his empty patch and realized something had changed. He realized that this was tired of fading away. Fade away. He didn't want to be there. He wanted to belong there. Last page. Guys, this is the last page, okay? And then it'll be continued in part two. It took the robot a full month to build his house. A ramshackle cabin made from leftover parts. Even the junk cases didn't work. But a chrysalided the world welcome on a sheet of battered tin and laid it outside his front door. He realized that he had made himself a home. A week later, as he furnished his home with the final piece of improvised furniture, he realized he had given himself a small sense of belonging. And a week after that, as he trended the flower bed in his tiny front garden, the robot realized that for the first time since he had arrived on the pile, he had not thought about the humans. It seemed he had finally found a way to leave the past behind, for that he was internally grateful. "It's him," said a voice. The robot dropped his trowel and spun around, still halted in the glare of one and a half setting suns. Stood two figures. They were no more than a meter away, one slightly taller than another, the other a little shorter. Their bodies were covered with thick, pocket-ridden ponchos, hoods pulled over their heads, cast dark shadows on their faces. One had a huge satchel strung across their chest. A small power battery poked out of the top. Then there's a cool picture of what it looked like. And that's exactly how I thought it was. I didn't know that the pile was less bigger though. Anyway, Daddy's going to put a bookmark in and we're going to read some more every single podcast episode and we'll finally finish it. I wonder what will happen next. Bye, LMS fans. I'll see you next time. It will still be on our holiday, but it might not be in Malaysia. Bye.